There's the Pet Shop Boys, always on my mind here at Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. It's almost 8 minutes past 6 o'clock. Good morning to you.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you're feeling half decent of a Tuesday.
Yeah, it was a hot one yesterday, but it wasn't that sort of... I don't know if it had that glorious kind of thing about it, did it? Wasn't bad now.
Oh,
I'm certainly
Jesus,
not complaining.
Glorious.
Was it though, really? Now, there's a lot of people. I mean, there's Greg, for example, describing this morning as claggy.
Oh, I thought you meant yesterday. I wasn't listening.
Yesterday, yeah. That's what I'm saying. There was elements of that about it as well.
Yesterday was... It doesn't get more perfect than yesterday.
Oh, I think you'll find there'll be many who disagree.
Ah, you idiot. Where were you? Up in the hills of...
It was halfway to nowhere. It was certainly warm. Humid and all that sort of stuff.
Beautiful sunshine until I was going to bed.
You see, because you're by the sea, you see it all kind of, you know, you get the... Sea breeze is blowing away the clouds and all that. Perfection you have surrounding you all the time.
Absolutely glorious. The best day of the year by a long, long shot.
I'm trying to be sympathetic to the likes of Margaret there and from
Margaret and Fermoy.
And Greg and Ballinasloe who's talking about claggy weather and all the rest of it. Unbelievable day.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to be sympathetic. Reach out to the rest of the nation.
It's all about everyone except me. Hey, oh, I see the way it's working. In Dunleary Land yesterday, it was absolutely unbelievable.
Of course,
unbelievable.
You were out in the boat last night, weren't you?
No, it was cancelled.
Oh, are you serious?
You were
looking forward to that.
Yeah, I was looking forward to it, but sure, what are you going to do? It was cancelled because everyone was out there on the open day on the Sunday, so he gave them all the day off.
Explain this to me. Derek, the taxi driver, back in action today. He says, morning, lads. Took EU day off yesterday. Over the great golf results. Is that some sort of wind-up, though? Am I missing the gag there?
EU? I don't know what that means at all.
An EU day. Because I tell you something, if there's EU days floating around that you can take off...
We're all for it.
I will have one.
Absolutely all for it. Yeah, jumping on the EU day. Yeah. Happy EU day yesterday, everybody. No wonder it was cloggy some places.
Plan B, and she said, here at Classic Kids...
You're missing a very old man conversation there, everybody. While Amy Winehouse was giving you crooning on.
No, Plan B there. Singing, she said, yeah.
Jesus, there you go. It's even getting older now. So it is.
Can't even recognise the music. It's one of those. It's a new, young popular music was on
That's
the radio
unbelievable.
Now for a minute.
Yeah, really new now.
I couldn't hear it properly because I've got a cold in my ear.
Yeah, Jim has a cold in his ear, everybody. He's got a cold.
I didn't say I had a cold in my ear. I said I had a weird kind of head cold. That's, you know, the way it's gone into my ear where I can hear myself swallow. You know that weird sensation? As PJ described it, like you're underwater.
Yeah.
And it's only one ear. Oh. It's really weird.
If I just say, you don't get a cold in your ear until you're way into your 40s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had a sneeze in my balls once. I didn't know what to do.
Because that's what happens. PJ and myself end up having conversations here where somebody goes, look at this. Did you ever get the thing where you... And you turn around and you kind of have a twinge. And
Do you ever get that? And you know, you're moving at the same time, like you'd be spinning your arms around. Do you ever get that? And you lift your arm up and your kidney starts to click.
Anyway, sorry, right. Back on track. Almost a quarter past six on a Tuesday here at Classic Hits. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Welcome to the clinic, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, birthdays, buckets of birthdays for you to get your EU day off.
Let's have one, so.
Right, now, I've like another one, seven.
Oh, right, jeepers.
So I'd have to split this in half depending on how we go, right? But the first one up, I'm actually going to see if you can recognise who this is, okay? Very famous name. See if you can get it from this.
At the age of 41, I was hit on by a 27-year-old guy. He was charming, and I was flattered, and I declined. You know what his unsuccessful pickup line was? He could make me feel 22 again.
Now, what would be significant about that lady feeling 22 again? What happened to her at the age of 22?
God, you're having a rasher, so I don't know who she is or what. Well, nothing happens to anyone at 22.
If I told you that
22 is a crap year. 21 is the one that's about.
If I told you that lady at the age of 22 had an affair with the President of America...
Oh, I know who you're talking about. It's Monica Lewinsky, of course it is. Oh, yeah, jeepers, that's right. Gee, what a scandal that was.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, that went on for ages.
Imagine if Trump did that.
That was sort of before the OJ thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was a sort of a... Oh. Did you hear what he said?
It was well after OJ, though.
Was it well after
OJ? Would have been. Sure, I was in school when the OJ thing happened.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course, yeah. What am I saying?
Yeah, yeah. It was well after OJ. Definitely it was.
Yeah, actually, where am I getting that from?
I don't know.
Jesus, that was a weird time warp, that was.
And everybody forgives Bill Clinton, and he was a dirty whore, so he was.
Slick Willie.
Yeah, even his chief of security or something says he was a hard old dog to keep on the porch, he called him. There you go. You know,
the rumours that the White House, the actual house, has, you know, places in it that are used for things that happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because even with the Kennedys, you know, like the JFK thing and all that, there's rooms within the place that are, you know, like blooming Hogwarts. You know, you have to go under a tunnel and you press a wall. And
yeah, if Slick Willie was getting up to what he was getting up to with Monica Lewinsky.
So that people can be basically ushered in and ushered out without anybody ever knowing about it.
I'd say definitely. That's where they keep the lizards that speak French and all. Yeah. Oh, everybody knows that.
It's sort of the White House version of the Jungle Room, if you know what I mean.
But Monica Lewinsky, yeah, she's gone off to do. She makes a living now, I think, doing TED Talks around the world and writing
she's
books.
She's become a campaigner for the Me Too thing.
All of that sort of carry on.
And so there was a clue in there. She was 22 when it happened with Bill Clinton. So if you can suss that one out, obviously better than I did, because I had it about 20 years out of date.
Yeah, anyway, yeah. I think she's about the same age as me, actually. I'm going to say she's like 46.
Yeah! Straight in, right?
Oh, I was going to say 45 as well. That's the job. Good on you, Monica Lewinsky.
Right, cracking actor. Funny, funny bloke. And probably, I think he's described himself as the ultimate stoner. Woody Harrelson.
Celebrating
his birthday
today. Did you see the cut of him at Wimbledon? It was absolutely hilarious. Not allowed into his seat, no. Did you see the videos?
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Living the dream.
He was locked. And the hat.
I'm totally unapologetic about it.
Totally unapologetic. He's supposed to be a bit of a madman to go anyway. And he loves his booze and all of that crack.
He also is a bit of a... Daredevil's probably the wrong word, but he's a bit like a real life jackass character.
How do you mean?
Because he loves doing stuff... Just like he jumps off his swing. He has a swing and he jumps off it into a swimming pool, which is grand, except the swing is about 2 stories high.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's like one of those weird yoga swings or whatever. Because you know the way he's into all sorts of mad stuff.
I know he's a bit mad, all right. Yeah. I didn't know he was into
all
that.
And he does all
that,
and he'll just, you know, whatever.
He's so successful now. This is how he has to buy his time.
Yeah.
He goes. They say, "Do you want the best tickets to the Wimbledon? You know, tennis tournament?" And he'd be like, "I don't know what it is. Yeah, go." You know, because he's nothing to do.
Yeah.
Except just swan around being rich, and then he couldn't believe he wasn't allowed back to his seat because he was drunk and the game was playing. You know, because Wimbledon, so you can't be moving around when the game is on.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
Because it'd be very distracting in big games and all. And especially that if you're plastered. Yeah. And he was both whittling and plastered as the game was moving.
Correct.
And the face of him behind the security guard is just the face of utter confusion, because no one's told him anything he had to do before. Well, not since he was, you know, before he was in Cheers anyway, I'd say. But what age is he? 50s.
You're a big Cheers fan now, so
it's my favourite show. Yeah,
this could be very interesting. God, you could tell you something. You might not even need 7 to get 3.
I'm gonna say he's 53 then.
58.
I was gonna say 57, and then you made me change.
What did
you
I do?
You did, yeah.
By helping you with
no,
a clue.
You would nodded your head like you were pointing down with your chin. You did, yeah. You did. That was sneaky, sniggledy tactics from Jim McCabe.
Here's one. I'm not even sure if you'll know this bloke. I'm trying to think how you could possibly know him from, but you never know. Chance it. David Essex.
Oh, yeah. I do know David Essex, yeah.
Would you?
I know David Essex was, yeah.
Because, for a lot of people, they'll only know him at that time that he went into EastEnders, which was very late in his career.
Oh, jeepers, yeah. No,
he obviously was a singer way back.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I remember him from. Or that's how I know him.
What old. Me close, don't let me go.
When I left school and I went to this sound training thing for a few months, and there was a guy in the class called David Essex.
No way!
Yeah, and he was the biggest... Oh, I shouldn't say that. He's still alive, obviously.
Come on. Too late now.
He was not the biggest stoner I've ever met in my life.
Of course he wasn't. Right. He was no Woody Harrelson.
He... and he was a gas man. Very
funny. The
other
great thing about David Essex is he made a couple of movies in his time. And they were all rude and all.
Oh, that's
very
right.
Good.
Yeah, yeah, they were bad blueies, they'd have been called back in the day, I'll tell you.
When you were only a very young fella, you were very good.
Yeah, you'd be watching the ones with the might be a bit of a knocker and all. You know what I mean? Before the days of...
It was a bit of free love.
Before the days of Interweapon or anything. And
yeah.
You'd be very...
See, he was popular in the time.
And if
it
came on and your dad was in the room, he'd be doing all the coughing and all and then pretending he had to go.
Yeah, and you'd get sent to bed.
Yeah, get him to bed, Jill. David Essex is in the news. Go on up.
David Essex.
He's
not a young man.
No,
he's
not. Definitely not. I gotta say, he's like 76.
Oh, 72.
Ah, fuck. 72, right. Started you, so good.
Let's squeeze another one in. What'll I give you on this? What about if I give you Slash?
Slash of Guns N' Roses.
Of Guns N' Roses fame. Whose real name is Saul or something? Or
something like that. I don't know.
I should look that up.
Every so often you don't even want to know what a man's real name is because he's so synonymous with his character.
Yeah.
Like that. What an image. The big, long, black, curly
Saul
hair. The
Hudson.
Top
That's
Saul
his name.
Hudson. There
Sounds
you go.
Like the character out of them. Out of Homeland.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, it does.
Actually, that's only because he's called Saul as well.
Yeah, but the whole Hudson thing rings true.
Saul
like
Hudson.
Like, if it was Saul O'Reilly, you go,
yeah, that's...
But, like, what an amazing career he's forged himself. I read his book, his autobiography.
He's born in England.
Jeez. Yeah, born in England, yeah.
Born in England.
His autobiography is worth a read if you want to see.
It?
If you want to see... How am I? Like, he's literally, he's a
roll.
Miracle he's still alive.
Ah, right. Sure.
An absolute miracle.
So, referring
he's still alive.
To your friend, David Essex.
Yeah. You know what I mean? David Essex looks like the proverbial Daniel O'Donnell next to the carry on of this man.
Right.
I tell you, it is unbelievable. The madness. The mad life they all live together as Guns N' Roses is just beyond. It's actually beyond insane.
Wow.
But he looks there.
So, that's worth the read. Right. There's one on the book.
But what a great. What a... Oh, I don't know. Now I'm getting carried
and
away.
The other thing about it is, it's going to be hard to suss out his age because it's very difficult to see his face sometimes.
Yeah. And you remember, they came to Ireland in 1991, was it? And I remember we all went to Slane to see them.
Right.
This big gig, 1991 in Slane. Oh, my God. And to this day, it's remembered as one of the best gigs ever. And when they came back again, they were showing all the footage and all. And I remember it so well. And I'll be honest with you, I had a crap day. I can't believe anyone enjoyed it. It was crap.
What was it?
They were so late on. The buses all left without us, not crap day. So Slash is...
Slash, who's responsible for PJ's crap day?
53.
Oh, man, 54.
Ah!
54. Right, okay. I think we've three left.
That's another...
I'm going to let you gather your thoughts.
He's made Slane even worse. All these years later.
And that's your news on Ireland's official station for 80s, 90s and more. This is Classic Hits.
Thanks, Tara. 6:32, Tuesday, eh?
Yeah, your favourite.
Tuesday?
Yeah, you love Tuesdays. You're always saying how much you love a Tuesday.
We're being slightly ironic, if you
don't know. Do you know what, though?
What?
It's a happy Tuesday.
Is it?
Yeah.
Came fall.
The boys have got their legs out.
We had our legs out yesterday.
Did you?
You didn't.
And I've had mine out since April.
You didn't even notice. Unbelievable. You didn't even notice my legs were out yesterday.
No, I didn't. Sorry, no.
Shocking.
No.
Well, you finally get your legs out and there's at least something said. I've been wandering around hearing me smalls since April, I'd say.
But I mean, we're used to you wandering around half, wearing half nothing. Anyway, we barely see our legs.
Apart from a big horse across his chest, of course.
The old couple is back.
With all the colouring in on you, it's hard to know when you have your legs going out.
It is, I suppose. The tattoos, it's like a weird pair of leggings.
Could we do that one day? Could we just get you to get a tattoo that's just an outline and then Tara and Mike and myself
colour it in
as we go?
Love that.
That'd be great.
I even get little numbers on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'd need the numbers, actually. I'm shy. I'm shy. Can we do that? Can we get an outline tattoo on you and we'll just colour it in bit by bit?
I don't think this is a good idea. You know... I feel slightly violated.
But we do, and majority rules. 3-1.
I'll tell you something. You'd know there's no HR department in this place. You really would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's the Fine Young Cannibals, their version of Suspicious Minds, and LMC ahead of that with your Get Up and Go song, Take Me to the Clouds Above, here at Classic Hits. 20-7, waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Thank you for doing that. It's kind of part two of our birthdays today because we'd so many of them. PJ managed to get one. I was going to say you managed to nail Monica Lewinsky, but it's probably in that instance. Not the most appropriate turn of phrase.
It's a bad turn of phrase now, to be honest, yeah.
But certainly you've got one in the back of the net.
I do, so, I do indeed.
And there's three to play for, right? So any two of the next three, and you are walking out of here, buddy, a free man.
Right, well, you make it sound probably more likely than it is, but let's do it.
Right, okay, let's start with one of your own, right? We'll get you off up and running. Joe Brand.
Joe Brand. Comedian Joe Brand. Stand-up girl, yeah. I like her. She was always gas, to be
former
honest.
Former psychiatric nurse, famously, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's gas, isn't it?
Which sounds like exactly the perfect training to go into stand-up
comedy.
I
can't think of better training to go into stand-up comedy, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And considering everybody that does stand-up comedy is absolutely out of their mind anyway. There's a bit of that. That's helpful to be able to, you know, nurse your colleagues.
She's around a long time now, isn't she?
Long, long time,
she kind of feels to me like she's of the era of, I don't know, I was associated with the sort of Lenny Henrys and...
She's the tail end of that, definitely, yeah. Oh, definitely the tail end of that, yeah. She would have been gigging in the clubs when Jasper Carrot was still there and all that, yeah. But she had a great gag as well. What was it? I can't remember it now.
Does everybody have a signature gag?
No,
I
don't think so.
There's always like one gag you always associate with something.
No.
We've often had comedians and you've said that. Oh, he had a great gag about
it. But that'd be just my favourite gag do. That's all. So often you'd say to a comedian, you'd meet them and go, "Oh, I love that gag you did about the..." And they go, "That's not mine." "It is." I think, "Really? Yeah, I've seen you do it." And they go, "Jeez, yeah. I must look back on that now because I forgot that, you know."
Yeah, yeah.
And they kind of go...
Do you have a favourite of your own? Do you have something that you're most proud of? The gag you're most proud of in all your stand-up years?
No.
No.
Do I?
Actually, it's just so...
No,
hold
I don't
that thought, because we'll do that at some stage in the future. There'll be people out there listening who have been to all your shows or whatever, and they'll have favourite bits.
Sure, we won't be able to play them on the radio.
No, but they'll remember them.
Oh, well, maybe, yeah.
And you'll have to just tell them a clean way.
Yeah. Well, I didn't figure it out the first time. I won't figure it out this time. Joe Brand is 56.
62.
Oh, jeepers.
I was trying to tell you she was around a while.
I don't know why I did that there now. Right. Just shot myself and shot the fox there, didn't I?
All is not lost, right? What'll I give you? I know what I'll do. Sport. You always do well on a bit of sport, don't
you? I like sport.
Former Irish international. In fact, I think he was former Ireland captain. Although I could be wrong on that bit. Andy Townsend.
Andy Townsend!
Well, no, he wasn't Liverpoolian, but...
Townsend,
I know
he
where
was.
You're going with it, yeah.
Well,
I was always very proud to play for Ireland, you know.
That's the way exactly how I sounded. I was always very proud to play for Ireland. Well,
Yeah. It's not exactly
what his... What do you think of my London accent, Jim? Hey! I'm from Camden Down, Jim.
But in fairness to him, you know, part of the old Jack's Army, Andy Townsend.
Yeah,
of
course he was.
Part of one of the most successful Irish teams.
The most successful Irish team. And in fairness, though, like the amount
very
of support.
Very proud of that. Very proud of being part of one of the most successful Irish teams
ever. We did it for
ever.
The boys.
You know what I mean?
Our own Navian.
What a green with pride and all, you know, so... Oh, I'm very proud of that.
Oh, we loved that team, though.
Yes, we did.
Oh, we loved that team. And they got slagged so much. Remember in Spitting Image, it was 11 Paul Gascoigne's in green jerseys. Or something like that. And they introduced Paddy Gascoigne. You see the interviews every week. It was so funny. It was absolutely brilliant.
I would like to think about it that we were just, you know, all embracing. That's, you know what I mean?
Too, right?
Oh, we embraced them all.
Yeah, it wasn't...
Scottish, English... It's just a, you know, slightly Italian, all sorts.
Yeah, in Tony Cascarino's case, he's heard of Ireland.
Yeah,
that was all.
He'd once had some Irish food.
He had a pint of Guinness once. and that was enough. That got him. Apparently his granny had a bottle of Guinness and sent it over.
Proud Irish hero, Andy Townsend.
Andy Townsend is 53.
Not bad, 56.
Ah,
56, right. And then finally, you're a wizard, Harry.
Oh,
Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe. Harry Potter.
Harry Potter fame.
Yeah. Daniel, I'm glad you said wizard, Harry. I would have thought he was your man Frodo from The Lord of the Rings.
You
said Daniel Radcliffe. I would have been a 50-50 anyway, yeah.
So you figured, so I know there's some sort of magical elfy things going on.
Is he the wizard or the fellow with the big feet? I would have been thinking.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I would have been wondering now, to be honest with you.
Daniel Radcliffe.
What is the fellow with the big feet's name then? Hobbit.
Well, there's the actual Hobbit.
Yeah.
Your man that played it out of the office is
No, the Hobbit
Martin
in the
Freeman.
Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
Your man that looks like Harry Potter with big feet, that fella.
Yeah.
Who knows? Doesn't even matter. It's not even relevant.
What's his name again? He was in like Green Street and everything. He was in the Hooligan movie and... Oh.
Wait a minute.
What's his name?
Is that not
again?
Harry Potter and Green Street?
What?
That's Harry Potter and Green Street.
Oh, is it? What's the other fella's name again?
Oh, hold on. No, you're right. Hold on. Is it The Hobbit? Oh, jeez. This is
Elijah hard. Wood. Thank you.
Elijah
Whoever
Wood.
Whoever that person is.
Right, there you go. In
there. Elijah Wood.
God almighty. Who knew?
Yeah. That's Bud and Cork.
Why is there two Hollywood actors that look the same? You think Hollywood would have sorted that out?
Why were both of them in
And why are they both football hooligans?
Exactly. Why are both of them in hooligans?
And how did they both get into West Ham?
That's incredible. So you maybe have to be a bit of a wizard.
Yeah, you have to be a wizard, Harry.
Yeah, if you want to be in this firm, you're going to have to be a wizard.
West Ham don't do wizards. We only do hobbits. Right, so I got to say...
Anyway, I tell you what, look. Because there's nothing to lose, you've won in the back of the net... There's only one left. You're not going to make it to the three. You may as well take the Pyrrhic victory when I tell you that it's a significant birthday.
He's 40, though.
30.
You're joking me.
Yeah. He's 30, man. He was a boy wizard. He was... What? I can't even help you properly now.
No, he's not. He's still only 30.
He's still 30, yeah. Daniel Radcliffe. He's
but
30.
I was only a boy when I saw Harry Potter.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm tempted to say... You're an Egypt, PJ.
Yeah. Well, you'd be wrong. Because I'm a hobbit, Jim.
Yeah, Tina Turner, simply the best here at Classic Hits. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim on this Tuesday, 23rd of July, just 11 minutes past 7 o'clock. And... Oh, yeah. Been a hot one yesterday. Could be a hot one today, you know. And if you feel the urge to get out there and enjoy it, maybe on the various beaches. Okay, it's been a bit, as Greg described it earlier on the text, it's a bit claggy. But you know what I mean? There's been sunshine. If you're in the right part of the country, there's been lots of sunshine, lots of heat. Maybe you feel the need to remove some clothing.
Claggy or not, maybe that's the best time to get into your nude. Strip down and get into your nippity doodads, because I tell you something, the Irish Naturist Movement, or the Irish Naturist Association as they are known, they're not employing.
Employing? You get money for it? Fantastic!
Well, no, they're definitely not getting money for it. But, of course, the Irish Naturist Association, they're saying, with the swelling of the sun. Jim McKay,
Where are we going with this, people?
Into the proverbial toilet, which are humour as usual. You'll never get that from me.
This is turning into a carry-on movie.
It is, isn't it, Jim? It's just missing who's and ass. That's all it's missing, really, isn't it?
So what is the story, then?
So basically, Irish Naturists letting it all hang out yesterday. So they went down, you know the place we were talking about on the show before? It's called Hawkswell or something like that, in Dalkey. What's it called?
So it's near
Hawks
you.
Hawkscliff. Right beside me. Ooh. Right beside me, Hawkscliff. And yesterday, the Irish Naturists, they were out there letting their short and curlies and all and everything... Into the sun.
Right.
Embracing.
Letting the air kind of whip round all of the various...
Yeah. Letting all that...
Accoutrements.
...happen. And speaking to the Irish Sun yesterday, a man called Pat Gallagher. Yes, a man with the same name as me.
Oh, yeah.
Same name as me. Believe it or not, he was saying... Well, what did he say? He said how they've been blessed with their bear share.
It's obviously... The Irish Sun trying for a little pun. Magic Mike, are you proud of that?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
He loves it, yeah. Look at that. Blessed with their bear share of new members recently, and has insisted they would welcome many more recruits to the cause.
Wow.
So if you are out there, if you have ever felt the need or the urge to whip off your short and curlies and... No, you can't whip them off. Whip off your smalls.
Well, I mean, you know, whatever takes your particular
whatever.
Fancy.
It's up to you.
It's not obligatory.
No judgment here.
If they're there, they're there.
No judgment here. And these days, having short curlies is nearly bad manners, isn't it? It's unbelievable, like.
But anyway...
You know what I mean? Sometimes you'd be looking at yourself, I don't know. It's like these homemade underpants, these natural-made underpants. They're probably rude in this the modern era. But he says they hold events across the country on a regular basis, and everyone is welcome. When you get the good weather, you always get more numbers. The membership has been increasing in recent times. More and more events across the country. He also says... Believe it or not, if you live anywhere near the coast at all, I go, oh God, I can't. This story's too much for me.
He's getting all emotional now. This is BJ contemplating, oh my God, I mean, just down the road, there's going to be a whole load of nudie people.
Yeah, I was just
missing. He's getting all a little bit hot.
I was just missing, they're only 15 minutes away. Oh.
Like I say, we've descended into a carry-on movie.
This is terrible. I was actually trying to do these people a favour, and I've ended up being a total idiot about the whole thing. So I have.
So are you slightly tempted then? Are you tempted to kind of, you know, no, this is it, this is my moment?
No. I mean, even like...
You know, you're somebody who has spent a lifetime decorating your body. As we were saying earlier on, you know, you've been colouring yourself in for a while now.
You know,
you could go out there and you could display the art forms that, you know, adorn you.
Yeah.
Out there.
And ruin it all with my own little trouser ferret. No, not happening. Not happening. No way. I don't even like having me shoes off in the house and I live alone.
What?
Yeah. Oh, I don't even like having me shoes off. I don't even like
it. But I mean, every opportunity you get your legs out. The shorts are always on.
Yeah.
You're just saying the shorts need to go to the knee, do they?
They need to go at that mid-thigh, and I tell you something. The arms are the same. I'm not even... I'm wearing a t-shirt that doesn't have a round neck today, and I'm uncomfortable even with you seeing that low down my chest.
Wow.
It's none of your business.
Are you a little bit prudish?
Well, I think I might be, yeah.
A little bit prudish, are you?
Well, you know, as I get older, I think I'm becoming a little bit more prudish. Yeah,
right, okay.
I think so. The idea of... You know, when I've been down on Dolly Mountain all the odd time, and a couple of times I've been... You know, the dog likes to jump into the river and that.
Yeah.
The river, the sea, right? So I go down there. And I was down a few times and was thrown, and then you turn around and in those changing blocks there, there'd be a lad just sitting there with nothing on, only a pair of socks. You know.
What's the significance of the socks?
I don't know, this was just a couple of times.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And he was nothing on, only a pair.
Obviously he thought, like, oh, nude. Well, I don't want to get cold feet.
Yeah.
So leave me socks on.
Not there with a pair
of socks. You can leave your socks on.
You can leave your socks on. He's not on but a pair of stockings. And I tell you, even me and the dog were looking at each other. The dog was even looking at me. What's going on there? Am I allowed to run away with this or what's going on? No, is this business for me or what?
Yeah, yeah.
Me and the dog, we didn't say a word to each other going home in the car.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's not his fault. He's doing nothing wrong.
Right.
He's within the law. He's minding his own business.
Yeah.
He's, you know, I shouldn't have probably been there with the dog. Actually.
But you were a little bit...
But
you know,
I was a little bit...
You were disturbed.
I was a little bit disturbed, yeah.
By the socks, probably.
Probably more the socks. Like, if you had gone fully in the nip, I wouldn't have been as disturbed, actually. You know?
Yeah, you're right. I haven't even seen it. I'm just hearing the story, and I'm a little bit disturbed by
like
the socks.
Like, you know, I'm not comfortable. I'm not really comfortable with myself. I remember going... In the winter now, I was wearing only socks and a t-shirt in the bed, and I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror going for a wee-wee. And I have to say, it was one of the most horrific things I've ever seen in my life.
Right, so no nudiness in Hawks View, Cliff, whatever it's
Hawks
called.
Hawks Cliff, yeah. And
Hawks Cliff for you.
No, I don't know. I tell you, no, it wouldn't be for me. And I certainly hope the lifeboat doesn't get called out, because that'd be fun.
Actually, that'd be fantastic. Because if you have to rescue a lad in his socks.
That's terrible. I have no problem with that, though. No problem.
Robert Palmer, Addicted to Love, here at Classic Hits, 7:20 on this Tuesday, 23rd of July. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. And thanks to Liz, Gary and Ruby, because they're listening to us on the app in Rhodes. Some place called Pefkos, is it?
Oh, in Greece.
In Rhodes, yeah.
We're savage. Oh, amazing. Fair play.
Thanks, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Liz, Gary and Ruby. Get us
God,
on the app everywhere, actually. Lots of people
somewhere.
Sort of end up taking us on holiday, don't they? Because... What with the old technology, the way it is and all, you can get it everywhere.
Yeah, taking us on holiday but leaving us here at the same time.
Well, exactly, yeah, yeah. It's the best way to take us on holiday.
Is it?
Well,
is it really, Jim?
Well, nobody
does nobody want to take us actually anywhere?
Nobody wants to see you in just their socks.
Well, that even
although
I
somebody
don't.
Has speculated whether or not you'd, you know, contemplate it if Mel C asked you.
I'd put me socks on for Mel C if she asked me it. I would do it.
087-188-0008 if you want to give us a shout this morning. Hitbit on the way, of course. Classichits.ie if you want to check out all the previous guesses and have a listen before you play. Just let us know. Don't give us your guess. Just let us know that you want to play. As I say, free to have a bash on WhatsApp. 087-188-0008. Laura Branigan, Self Control here at Classic Hits. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Just 22 minutes to 8 o'clock. Quick shout out to Sarah Moynihan. Because she's 30 today. It's her birthday
happy
today.
Happy birthday. Onto the third floor. Well
yeah,
done.
Boyfriend Andrew wanted to send her lots of love and happy birthday wishes and all that sort of stuff. I think we're a bit early with that. But there, you know, look, hey, better early than late, yeah?
That's for sure.
Sarah, happy birthday to you. And while we're on the subject as well, what do you call us? Mad Mary was on. She's looking to have a go at the hit bit, but she said failing that, more than happy to send best wishes to her fiancé, Pete the Happy Man.
Ah, go on, Pete the Happy
There's
Man.
There's a lot of kind of romancy stuff going around this morning. And
there is.
Say,
it's a lot of love in the air, in fairness.
And, you know, if you're heading to work, apparently, once upon a time, that used to be the place to go if you wanted a bit of romance.
For decades. for absolutely decades. You used to meet the person that you would end up with, or at least spend a few years with. When your eyes would lock over the sort of the water cooler, the photocopier, maybe in the kitchen of the workplace, and you'd be, well, my name is Jim, and I'd like to see if you had a nice weekend. Yeah? You know, all that
or other such entertaining lines.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, yeah. You can tell I'm not very good at
quality. That was quality.
So that's
who could resist?
Yeah, you know, it's so awkward trying to talk to someone that you like. You know, you have to make try and wait for the opportune moment.
That's a lovely biscuit that you're having to eat there with your tea.
Your biscuit looks lovely and matches your head. Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sit over there.
Yeah. And I be thinking and looking at you, no? Yeah.
Yes. I'll tell you something. That's going to be the subject of our next podcast. We're going to do dating tips.
Dating tips. Yeah, we have to do that this week. Yeah,
you can imagine. You've got a lovely biscuit.
Yeah.
I have a cup of tea.
Thank you. Would you like to
dip it?
Have it?
Anyway, apparently, it's all gone by the wayside now. There's no point in even trying anymore.
Because yeah, it's gone.
The modern world means it's a waste of time.
It is dying out. It's dying out. Well, just one in 10 couples gets together now in the workplace, where it used to be a fifth of all relationships, apparently, were in the workplace. So it was a huge
halved.
Yeah. So in 1995, nearly a fifth, 19% said they had met through or as co-workers. But the figure dropped to 11% by 2017 over the same period. Those who said they met online in the last 2 years have increased 2%. But overall, people have gone online in such huge numbers since 1995 that it's taken away from what people in the workplace. So there's a few different reasons.
Harassment is one of them.
It is. It actually is, since the hashtag MeToo sort of scandal.
Now you're afraid to say to somebody that that's a lovely biscuit you have there.
And your matches your head and all.
And it matches your head
and your hair's a lovely colour like and the tea.
Yeah. And I do smell you as you go by and all. You can't say that anymore.
Oh, jeez, you couldn't be talking about someone smelling them. Jim, even suggesting it. I think I'm going to report you just for saying that about it.
A proper order too. Yes, yeah, so I'll report myself. I will.
And those are the two big reasons. The sort of fear in the with lads, you know, thinking this is going to be seen as harassment, and going to the internet, because internet dating since 1995 is up 39%.
Yeah.
So if you're not online, you're not in a halfpenny place when it comes to dating.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's the place that it all happens.
That's
now.
The place it all happens. Work is
where
not
the trading
where
goes on.
Where effectively it's online. Isn't it? It is, isn't it? I've never done any of the internet.
I'd imagine. I haven't done it myself, but I'd imagine that the idea as well is that I assume. I mean, there's both ends of it, isn't there? There's stories that make out that it's kind of mad. That's just it's people out there and they're looking to do all sorts of bold things and all.
On the internet world.
On the internet. Yeah. But also, the other side of it is, I suppose if you go through reputable sources or agencies or whatever it is.
I think it's just Tinder and all. Tinder and Bumble and Plenty of Fish, and I think those are the things.
Yeah, but they're not the ones that are, you know, screened or anything, are they? Like,
does anybody...
You could meet a weird old mackerel on, you know,
Weird mackerel. I'd be more worried about the fellas paying for it.
The fella's paying for what?
Paying for... Can you find me somebody or I'll give you some money? I don't know. I think, you know, I think that's weirder.
Do you?
I do.
Right.
I think if you're on Tinder...
The person that goes... somebody who sets themselves up as a bit of a love guru. You know, like if somebody says, PJ, I can find you the perfect woman.
Really?
You'd be suspicious of that,
I would be very suspicious of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas just littering away on my own phone, Tinder, Bumble, whatever, I can imagine that.
Yeah. Right?
You know, plenty of... how's it going? Blocked. What's the crack? Blocked.
Yeah,
you know, I can imagine that.
Right.
Paying somebody to be basically the person that goes, will you be with me, mate? No.
Right. That's not really... I never thought of it like that now. I thought of me more like, you know, filtering out the... You know, especially somebody in your... elevated position that they might have to filter elevated out the sort position of, you know, the ne'er-do-wells, and literally just kind of say to you, we have a selection of the cream of the crop.
Oh my God. See, it just doesn't work like that in real life. That's just not real life, I don't think. You know what I mean? Oh, I don't know. But I will tell you this, right? Because this is what's happened. This is how things have changed, right? So meeting through neighbours or friends, that's down 3%. At universities, that's down 4%. You would have thought that would be a big one. Churches, obviously, that's down.
Obviously. People used to meet at churches.
Well, yeah, you'd be there. You know, that would have been a thing.
So it's kind of saw doctor stuff.
Well, I remember years ago, there was a girl I fancied, and it was the only reason I went to Mass for about 3 or 4 months anyway. And then she turned
around. It turned out it was a nun, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was practically a devil worshipper after that. at school, that's school's too early. True family, yeah, that said that one. At work, down 11%. That's the one we were talking about. True friends, 20%. In a bar or in a restaurant, though, up 27%.
Oh, wow, it's gone back to the old days.
So it's gone back to the old days a little bit. So out and about, because the other social things are kind of dead in the water, really.
Right.
And it's less comfortable. And, you know, there's a little bit of, what are you saying now? Am I going to report you? So that's up 27%.
Oh, wow. Because let's face it, you know, out in a bar, what could possibly go wrong? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's only, like, drink flowing and everything and people wearing all sorts of half nothing and all.
Jeepers. I don't know. I wouldn't know how to do it. How would you approach someone? Honestly, how would you do it?
At a bar, yeah.
How would you do it?
You'd be afraid of your life.
Unless you're introduced or something, like, walking up. How's it going, man? Did the angel fall out of the kitchen? No, that's not it. You know,
you have screwdriver. No, that's not it either.
Like, you know, the chat up lines.
I can't believe the bar stuff and the restaurant stuff's gone back up.
Gone right back up.
I would have thought that was the first place that the whole sort of Me Too thing would have gone through the roof.
Yeah, no, apparently it's gone
right
back up.
Did I ask you to come over here and talk to me, did I? No, it was only just saying hello.
Yeah, well, don't.
Well, don't. And don't assume I ever want to speak to you again.
And then Jim's case to be going, I want to redirect just through the pairs. My agent, my dating agent, is at the end of the bar.
Classic hits.
And now, the Hit Bit with the National Card Centre. If it's carding you want, then you're on the right track. See nationalcardcentre.ie.
Hit Bit. It's a bit of a really famous hit. It's a bit, just a bit from a classic hit. But what hit is it?
Hit me!
Well, yes, it's an effort. It has to be. It is an effort.
There you go.
An effort to get your mojo back.
Try to get there. 760 quid on the Hit Bit this morning. All for the right person who gets this right, of course. Tell us what song it is. Tell us what bit of a hit it is. And 760 quid will be yours. Sorry, by the way, earlier on, me and Jim were having a laugh because I managed to do the one thing we're not supposed to do. When you're registering for the Hit Bit, you send us your name. And not what you think it is. And of course, when I was plugging earlier on, I says, and don't forget,
send us your guess, send not us your guess, name.
And not your name. So, for those people that got it right, in spite of me, they're going to have a go today. So first up is Leslie in Dublin. Hiya, Leslie.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Oh, good, Leslie. How about you?
Good, yeah.
What's your story today? Anything exciting planned?
No, nothing really, no. I have a 7-month-old baby, so just looking after him at the moment.
Oh, right, you've got your hands full, so.
That's it.
I love the way only mothers would say, I've nothing to do at all. No, just a 7-month-old baby. Oh, is that it? Nothing at all, yeah. How relaxing.
If that was a bloke, you'd be like, you won't believe it. Yeah. I've got to look after this other human.
This fella's still on pills and sneezing and, yeah. So, well, hopefully we can get you 760 quid. You can spoil yourself a bit, Leslie. What do you think it is?
I think it's The One I Love by R.E.M.
Oh, great, great song. Right.
Good tune. Right, Magical Michael is with us.
Leslie, you won't be able to see this, but for the lads' benefit. See what I'm doing there, lads?
Blinking, you're blinking.
I'm blinking very fast, like rapid eye movement.
Oh, God.
That was to give you a clue if it was right or wrong. Turns out it was wrong.
It doesn't even make sense.
R.E.M.
Rapid eye movement.
I know, yeah, but what's it got to do with it being right or... I don't...
Shh. Just move on there.
Wow, yeah. Leslie. I'm sorry we made your day a little bit more stressful.
I really regret not having a tumbleweed sound effect.
Leslie, see ya.
Sorry about that, Leslie.
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin to apologise.
Rapid eye
movement. Yeah, right, okay, let it go, Michael, let it go.
What's it got to do? Yeah.
Leslie, get out of here, save yourself, Leslie. Save yourself.
Run for your life, Leslie.
Let's get ready, because there's another one about eyes coming. Go to line two there.
Stephen, how are you going? Stephen the Limerick.
How's it going, guys?
I tell you, Stephen, judging by the start we got off to, what we hope you're going to be all right.
Please take this uphill.
I think you're exiting already, lads.
Yeah. How are you getting on today, Stephen?
Getting on, grand.
Yeah, yeah.
Event for work again today.
Oh, okay, right. A man in the van. Right, so here's a man. Here's a man who could do with some cheering up. Maybe not one of one of the puns. What do you think it is, Stephen? We'll try and give you a few quid.
Tim Cairns, Betty Davis eyes.
Betty Davis eyes.
All right.
Again, lads, for the benefit of you two, look into my eyes. Is it right? Is it wrong? No. He's got my Gogan eyes.
Oh, my God.
I know,
Stephen. I thought that Leslie had brought us to a low that would never ever be breached.
Oh, I can almost feel the cringe of an nation.
Tell you, Stephen.
I think I'm going to get sick.
Yeah, I think we all need to go and think about what's happened here, Stephen.
I can't apologise enough. Yeah. I actually think that joke was so bad you could actually put in a claim against the station.
I think so too. Yeah, yeah. If I was you, I'd seek out a solicitor immediately, Stephen. To be perfectly honest.
If it's any consolation, that hurt me.
Yeah. Stephen, take care of yourself. You have the advantage of being able to leave now.
Yes. Your van never felt so comfortable, yeah,
absolutely.
I'd say.
Take care. Have a good day,
man. See you,
bye bye.
Oh, my God.
I really don't know where to go.
I mean, that is.
Wow.
You know what I mean? His bad ones are never that bad.
Wow. That was. I don't know whether.
Not only were they bad puns, they were completely irrelevant to the situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
We have nothing to say.
PJ and Jim in the morning.
Spice Girls, who do you think you are? Here are Classic Hits, 10 and a half minutes past 8. Thanks for waking up happy with PJ and Jim this Tuesday, 23rd of July, still smack bang in the middle of the old holiday season. People off in their halls. We're getting texts in from all over the world. People listening on the app and all that. And
who do we have today? We had Greece and everything this morning.
Today,
yeah, loads going on. People are out enjoying themselves, packing their bags, heading to the airport, doing their thing.
Yeah.
And more power to them. And may they have the best holiday possible.
And when you think of a holiday, it's kind of for people, you know, a lot of people, obviously, the first thing they think of is the sun. Maybe for other people, it's the scenery. Maybe it's the relaxation. Maybe it's just leaving home. But of course.
But then there's the likes of me and Jim. And sun, sea, sand and enjoyment, they all come second to stuffing your fat one.
Cannot beat it. Holiday food.
I swear to God, me and Jim, we talk such a load of rubbish, right? Rubbish. Whenever we're going on holidays, we'd be sitting here and we'd be doing this, right? Before we go, I'd be there to gym, right? No, I have a plan. I'm bringing me gym gear, right? I'm going to get up. There's a gym in the place. I'm going to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
And I was looking online
and you can do these salad things. Right? Of course, you get there. Not only do you never see the gym. You're drunk at 7 in the morning. And then you're having all day. You have to have 2 breakfasts, 2 lunches. Then you're walking around licking whatever you put your hand on that day. And and then your big dinners, your abs, the overindulgence.
It's mad, isn't it? I mean, the portion sizes alone. Like, as you say, if you go, no matter what way you do it, right? If you go to one of those places where you're, say, where meals are included and it's one of those, the buffet style things for your breakfast or your dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
You never the way you would here, a dinner.
No.
That thing there with that side and that. Because you have that, and then you go, although I wouldn't mind a bit of the of the Chinese.
See, this is the Irish way of carrying on. So
you couldn't have a second one.
You're at these places, right, and it's laid out so Germans have their area, right? This is how they lay it out. Germans over here, Spanish over here, right? They're the Greeks out the back there. Irish people here, this is your area, Irish English people, right? Well, what do we go in and go, oh, Jesus, what are you looking at? What are the Germans in? Jeez, you will have somebody say, I'll have some Spanish tart here. Jeez, look at that. So what's that there? A tuna fish. Yeah, I'll have one of them. Oh, jeez, I'm not having any of this without chips. And you end up, we have to try everything.
You have to try everything.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And you feel hard done by.
So the idea
if you haven't eaten your way around the entire continent by 10 o'clock in the morning.
The idea is it's meant to be choice. Like, so you choose from the selection.
Yeah.
But not us.
Not.
We have the selection.
Yeah.
All of them.
And the survey of the day, right, says, this is amazing. Research shows, right, Irish people could be eating 4 times their recommended daily intake.
Easy.
On their top, 4 times. So a daily recommended limit, 2,000 calories for a woman and 2,500 for a man. That's the rough average now. Obviously, it's different considering your size, whatever, right? Holiday makers could accidentally be eating.
No accident about it, buddy.
8,000 calories a day.
It's no accident.
8,000 a day. That means, right, that was heading on holidays for a fortnight could be scoffing. In 2 weeks, 110,000 calories.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. So when you think about how much you're, like, you're putting on huge amounts of weight, it's brilliant. It's full Irish breakfast, right, abroad can contain about 1,500 calories alone, right? That's three rashers. Weighing 213 calories. One slice of black pudding at 192. This is the most hilarious way of looking at a breakfast ever. Two sausages, 324. Toast, eggs, and all the rest. It brings up to 1,500 calories. And that's before even adding your drinks, right? Because you're on holidays, right? You're on holidays. And the other thing, sometimes you do need a fizzy to knock down the toast.
And the other thing about the breakfast is, right, if I'm here at home, right, and I have a breakfast, like a cooked breakfast or whatever, a grill or anything like that, that's great. That's me breakfast, right?
Yeah.
I'd never then follow that up with pastries.
Oh, jeez, no.
But when you're over there.
When you're over there.
It's like,
I'm walking out.
Well, I mean, you'd have to.
Croissants in me pocket, like, unbelievable. Pockets full of croissants. Things wrapped in napkins. You're sticking them in. Walking out with little baskets for me picnic.
Yeah, for your, for your 11 o'clock.
In case I get hungry at 11. It's half 10. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
There's Irish families doing stretches so they can fit things in. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's like having a war meeting. The Irish families are outside going, right, well, here's what we're going to do, right? Table 11. Get everything you can. As much as you can, get it on plates. Get into the queue. Gerdy, I want you on sausages. Rita, you're on the ham. Tom, I know you hate it, but you're on the German buffet. As many assorted cheeses as you can. Yeah. It's like, Mary, it's like, croissants. As many as you can reach.
And if you turn around and say, but do we need that much? Do we need that much? What sort of a memory have you got? Do you remember the famine, do you?
Yeah.
Do you remember the famine?
Do you remember the famine? Do you know the reason? We used to be the tallest people in Europe. Now we're trying to be the fattest. Now hurry up and do what you're told. Yeah, I'm actually
incredible.
Proud. I think now I have a new challenge.
What would you put on?
Challenge on holiday now. 110,000 calories. Double it. I'm going to double it. I'm going to hit easily 220,000 the next holiday.
So this is our challenge for the new world record. We're getting all the previous stuff, but we're going to get you into the Guinness Book of Records as the most amount of calories consumed on holiday.
I don't come home with angina from me next holiday. I'm going to be raging. I feel like I wasted it.
What did you bring back from your holidays? Diabetes.
Yeah.
That's what I brought back.
Diabetes.
Because I had so many croissants and jam rolls in the morning, it just took over me.
And if you'll excuse me, I need to go to the toilet.
Guaranteed Irish Aslan's Crazy World here at Classic. It's 20 past 8. Dave in Westmeath, BJ, has tried to make us feel a little bit better. He says, just to let you know, in the Tour de France, the cyclists competing in the Tour de France, they consume 140,000 calories in 21 days.
Yeah, but there's different statistics when it comes to the Tour de France. They also
cycle up mountains.
You know, they do the same as Mount Everest 5 times.
Wow.
In the space of the race. Yeah. 3 weeks.
So
they do
140,000 calories doing 5 Mount Everests, right? Versus 100,000 calories
and
lying on a sunbed.
And the last one was on holidays, right? I remember I was given out. I was lying down. And because I was lying there for so long, bursting for a wee, and I was remember thinking, and the Jack's is the far side of the pill. I'll just hold it.
That's Black Box right on time here at Classic Hits, 23 minutes to 9 o'clock. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Hi to Derek in Finland, no less, who's listening to us on the old interweb.
In Finland!
And after we were talking about the whole foodie thing on holidays, right, he said dad bods are actually back in fashion.
Well, there you go.
So there you go. So, and whatever about dad bods, what about dad gags?
In fairness, we talked
about this before.
We've talked about dad jokes quite a lot on this show, actually. In defense of the humble dad joke, much of the time, we have been.
Yeah.
And now, scientists have finally revealed how dad jokes can actually be funnier than they already are. Because let's face it, dads are hilarious.
You
right?
love dad jokes.
I do love dad jokes. I do.
You love a bit of stupid humor.
I love stupid jokes. I love corny nonsense jokes where half the room laughs and the other half kind of go, oh,
for God's sake.
The cringe. Like Mike said earlier about his own jokes, the cringe is so bad it nearly makes you want to get sick. Yeah. I love those jokes. I love them. And then,
they were particular. Can we just point out, in case you missed that earlier on, if you get a chance to listen again on today's podcast, Mike's puns today were,
oh my God, spectacularly.
They were almost surgical. You could feel them cutting into you.
Yeah.
Oh,
they. I think I'm walking with a limp since one of them. Unbelievable. So researchers have said from the University College of London that laughter tracks are the way to make dad jokes funnier.
No way.
Laughter, we're going
back to the 70s.
Yeah. And it works.
Sitcom.
Apparently it works. They've done this, right? So at the end of a punchline with a dad joke, it increases the effectiveness of the joke if there's canned laughter or a laughter track on it, right? So spontaneous laughter, they say, it is more effective, as in it gets a more genuine laugh.
Right.
But if you're into frequency and you want a lot of laughs, canned laughter is the way to do it. So if you could somehow get dads their own canned laughter track, they get their jokes
or
would land better.
You need your very own gym, because that's really, that's what I am for you. I'm your, like, personal laughter track.
Hey.
See what I mean?
Wait a minute, are you saying...
Now, to try and make you sound a bit funnier, I have to kind of do me laugh.
Oh, well, this is telling, isn't it? So basically, you're laughing at all my jokes purely just to make me feel good.
No. I mean, they're very funny and all. Just saying, adding to it, that's all. You know, it's all part of the production process.
I don't trust you anymore. I've not...
Yeah,
you're Mike laughing.
Yeah, no, he got that wrong. Sorry, my fault. I normally have to give Mike a nod to when to laugh at your jokes. About that. I got the timing wrong there.
This is outrageous.
Otherwise, Mike, come on, will you?
I'm never going to trust you again now. Yeah, I've a good mind. No, I'm never not going to tell jokes. No way. I'm not letting you off that easy.
But we are going to... Are we going to put it to the test?
Well, here's the thing, right? So here's the deal. Here's what they did in the study, right?
Okay.
Researchers, they recorded comedians delivering 40 dad jokes. And on some of them, they didn't have laughter. On some of them, they did, right?
Right.
So they said the effectiveness proves that with the laughter, they work much better. So that's kind of how it works, right? Spontaneous laughter, like I said, more effective. But if you're looking for frequency...
Right.
Candle after work. So,
okay, so here we go. You've got some dad jokes.
I have here a list compiled by Magic Mike of dad jokes.
I have here some canned laughter. So for the purpose of this, so we can find out
I think we should do three without laughter and three with laughter.
Do you not want to alternate one to the other?
Oh, okay, we'll do that. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Sorry,
right.
I beg your pardon.
So let's just cut that.
Better idea.
No sound.
Jim acting all professional again.
No sound. You could have laughed there, Mike. That was a... There you go. Well done, PJ. You got a laugh there. So anyway...
I tell you, if Mike's canned laughter isn't to go by, it makes everything worse.
So here we go, right?
It really does.
So...
makes it hurting my feelings.
Is this gag number one with or without canned laughter?
I'd say we'll go... I don't know.
Let's go without.
Let's go without.
Okay,
okay.
So without canned laughter, sounds
right.
Like this.
So today my son asked, can I have a bookmark? And I burst into tears. I mean, he's 11 years old and he still doesn't know my name is Brian.
Right, okay, I see what you mean.
I thought that was a funny joke.
Right. So, now
wow, the silence was deafening on that. Like, it was actually deafening.
Let's try one with canned laughter.
Right. Did you know the first French fries, they weren't actually even cooked in France, actually, no? Did you know that? No, they were cooked in Greece.
It does make it better. I'm sorry. It was a shocker and it makes it better.
Right, I'll tell you something.
Right,
do you know how to make holy water, Jim?
No.
That's really easy. You just boil the hell out of it. Jim, that's a good joke. God.
Give us the candle after one.
Jeepers. If a child, you know the way you're putting your young fella to bed or whatever, right? You're putting the kids to bed. If they don't go to sleep, right? Are they guilty of resisting arrest?
The candle after works.
Do you know the Secret Service, right? They're not allowed to yell, get down at the president anymore. No, because now that it's Donald Trump, they have to shout, hey, Donald Duck!
Definitely better.
Do you know there's this fella, right? He's got no body and no nose. Do you know what they call him? Nobody knows.
I'm sorry, but it works. It actually works. Right, give us one without.
What does an angry pepper do?
What?
He gets jalapeno your face.
Yeah, you see, the candle after does work, doesn't it?
I tell you something.
It does work.
Maybe it's the choice of jokes. I tell you something, you really feel the silence, don't you? Like, it's oppressive, like.
Yeah.
It squeezes the life out of everything.
That's what I'm saying. So just be grateful that you have me constantly there ready to, you know, help you out whenever you're stuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's your career and stuff.
So my daughter screamed, Dad, you haven't listened to a single word I said. And I thought to myself, that's a strange way to start a conversation. Oh, thank God we finished on a fake laugh.
Yeah, Scissor Sisters, Take Your Mama, 10 to 9 here at Classic Hits. Thanks for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. About to do the Breakfast Table Quiz. Just time to give a quick shout out to June, Nats, Sharon and Darren. This follows on from the story PJ gave us about eating on holiday. So June, Nats, Sharon and Darren are all in Italy listening to us at this very moment.
See,
and
apparently
eating everything that moves.
Oh.
200,000 calories at least, they
You're
said.
Kidding.
The Breakfast Table Quiz.
It's time for the Breakfast Table Quiz. Win the best prize out there is. Try to get the biggest score. Hope the next call gets some more. It's the Breakfast Table Quiz.
With Julie Kilmartin's Educational Services in Ennis and Limerick. For exam success, it's got to be julies.ie.
Yeah, this week all about getting you a good night's sleep because we've got a Sealy mattress with thanks to Living Dreams Cork for you to win. Their stockist of top international and Irish brands in living, dining and bedding. You can find them, of course, at livingdreams.ie on the web. Living Dreams, spelt with a Z, by the way, livingdreams.ie. Or you can pop into the showroom, Little Island in County Cork, behind the NCT Centre there. That's where their showroom is. They're open 7 days a week. Summer sale happening, actually, at the moment. And you can go in there, chat to Kieran, who is Cork's mattress guru and the man who will be delivering the latex Sealy mattress of your choice.
Yeah, there you go.
You're a winner this week.
And four is all you need to get into the lead. So four to score to, to achieve, three to score to beat, and then you're in the lead. You might need a few more than that if you're going to take it at the end of the week, though. And Johnny Judge, what a name that is. He's a Mayo man in Galway. How are you, Johnny?
How's it going, PJ?
How are you, sir?
Good.
Now, you're a Mayo man. We had a very controversial episode in the Breakfast Table Quiz with a Mayo person before. Do you think you can do it this week?
Quietly confident.
Right, so.
That's the way to have it, Johnny.
Yeah. Right.
Because the last time we did it was only, a couple of weeks ago when ultimately, famously, on the final day.
Beaten by a point. Beaten by a point by Donegal. It was a Donegal player took them by a point. So there you go.
Right.
So, Johnny.
You're playing for pride as well as everything else here, Johnny. Only three to beat at the moment. So that's the good news. 60 seconds on the clock. You ready to go?
Ready to go.
Best of luck, mate. Here we go.
With what type of music was Bob Marley associated?
Reggae.
Name the cord that connects the unborn infant to the placenta.
Oh, a biblical cord.
Yeah, who delivered the famous I Have a Dream speech?
Martin Luther King.
Alpha is the first letter and Omega is the last in what alphabet?
Greek.
Did the D-Day landings in Normandy happen in World War One or Two?
Two.
Which classical composer wrote The Messiah?
Pass.
Is Handel, Graceland was the home of what American singer?
Elvis.
Is a Bramley an eating or a cooking apple?
Cooking.
Who sang the theme tune to the 1997 film Titanic?
Lean Dion.
Yeah, which 1996 blockbuster saw the White House being destroyed by a huge flying saucer?
Aiden Benedict.
Yeah, in which part of the body are the pectoral muscles?
The who?
The pectoral muscles. The chest. Russian billionaire Roman Abramovich bought what English
Chelsea.
Football? Yeah, which TV sitcom was set in Ireland on the on Craggy Island?
Yeah, Father Ted.
What fungus is used to make beer? No, it's yeast. I think you did pretty good. I'm pretty safe to say, Johnny, you're well ahead into the lead anyway.
Right, I need to get clarification from Magic Mike on the Celine Dion one. Mike, what's the story? Are we okay with that?
No, I think he said another name before that, if I'm right. Now, I'll have to doubly listen back to it, but at the moment
okay,
it's a no.
So for the time being, at least, we're not giving
for
Celine
the time
Dion
being
away.
It's
okay,
a no,
right,
yeah.
Okay. Right, which means we've got still a good score. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
10.
So it's not bad at all, Johnny. And who knows? That might go up to 11.
It might be 11, Johnny.
Back.
Definitely Celine.
Is that what you said, Johnny?
It was.
He said it eventually. Whether he said it first or not is what Magic Mike is going to check
out. Well,
let's
see now,
Johnny. He kind of joined in at one stage.
Come here, listen.
On the movie.
Johnny, who was that helping you out there?
We have Leo Lydon here.
Leo Lydon?
Oh, we've got Leonardo's all over the place this morning.
Fantastic. By the way, can you the biblical cord?
Yeah, we knew what he meant. We're giving him that one.
Brilliant. The unbiblical.
The unbiblical cord.
Yeah, it was choirs of angels. Anyway, listen, Johnny Judge, Mayo man in Galway for the moment. Listen, well done. Top of the leaderboard with that score of 10. Good for you, man.
Thanks very much. We're just across the road here from the Galway races, so keep an eye out for us.
Absolutely.
During the week.
Take a handy, Johnny. Good luck.
Cheers, lad.
See you later. Johnny George. What a name. What a guy.
And was it Leo Lydon he said was with him? Is that what he said?
I think that's what he said, isn't it? Yeah. He said Leonardo for Leon.
You hang out with people have like kind of, you know, rhyming names or matching initials or something.
Consider his name's Johnny Judge. So himself and Leonardo DiCaprio are hanging around the Galway races. So there you go.
Right, so 10, possibly 11. Who knows? Magic Mike will make a final decision on that to beat on the Breakfast Table Quiz. If you want to get your hands on a Sealy mattress, in fact, the your own choice of latex Sealy mattress delivered to you by Kieran, who's Cork's mattress guru from Living Dreams. Here we go, another classic year. We know it's in the 90s somewhere. That's where the tunes and the clues are going to come from. You just tell us what year we're talking about. That's the way it works. Absolutely free to have a guess on WhatsApp, of course, 087-188-0008.
Well, I was just looking here. It was a certain anniversary for the 1916 Rising, but I'm not going to give it as a clue because it completely eliminates the game.
Geniuses out there would work it out.
And you wouldn't really have to be much of a genius, so I think we should rule that one out.
Okay.
Maybe until
let's leave that one aside.
The end. So, really leaving that one out, who could forget the Calorgas competition for Housewife of the Year presented by Gabe Byrne? The prize included 1,500 Irish punts in cash and a Calor central heating system and a supply of gas. What an incredible competition that was. I mean, I do remember that pretty well, and I remember looking at it even then. And thinking,
I don't remember actually ever seeing it, but I remember it being a proper big thing. It was a huge branded thing.
It was on RTE. It was broadcast on the telly.
Yeah.
I remember watching it. Even back then, I remember thinking, gee, this is daft. This is daft.
What? Just out of curiosity, what did you have to do to prove you were housewife of the year?
Well, you did all kinds of things. It was like essentially a Rose of Tralee style thing.
Right.
Except, you know, well.
Were you tested on anything? Or did you just have people vouching for
you? My overwhelming memory of it was a woman showing how she made cake or something like that. That was one of the things. That was my overwhelming memory of it.
It's hard to believe. This is the 90s. That's the 90s we're talking about, man. It's not like it's the 70s.
Housewife of the year.
Yeah. Can you bake a good cake, keep your house clean, and your husband happy? And it was the 90s.
And it was the 90s, yeah.
Oh my God.
In fairness, even in the 90s,
just out of curiosity, right, if anybody listening to us has ever been or knows somebody who ever was Calorgas Housewife of the Year, will you let us know?
I've actually just found an amazing video online of it.
Right, we're going to have to check that
out. Oh, it's lovely stuff. Dear, oh dear.
What's the significance? Was this not held every year? What's the significance of it being in this year?
Was this the year it started? It might have been the first year.
Ah, hardly. Starting in this year.
No, hold on. I beg your pardon. Because 19...
Steady now.
Later in the 90s was the 25th year of the Calorgas Housewife of the Year competition. So maybe this was the first one that was televised live, maybe?
Yeah. Anyway...
I don't know. We're walking on glass here now, I can tell you that much.
As clues go, the first two haven't been fantastic. Considering you got halfway through the first one and said, oh no, I better not tell you that one because you could work it out. And then we told you that a competition that happened every year for years happened in this classic year too. Yeah, share the Shoop Shoop song and Learning to Fly from Tom Petty, the first two tunes from our classic year on CSI. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Thank you for doing that. Just 9:15. We've given you clues to this classic year. Well, we gave you half a clue. PJ said there was a specific anniversary of the 1916 Rising. He just didn't say which one it was.
Yeah.
So that's a sort of half clue. And then he said that the Calorgas Housewife of the Year competition was held in this classic year. But it had been held for quite a few years before, and it was held for years afterwards. So again, not maybe the greatest clue that we've ever given you. But it doesn't matter, because it did lead us down a very bizarre road. Because we did say that if anybody had ever been...
To the Housewife of the Year competition.
Calorgas Housewife of the Year, or knew somebody who did. And look at this. Hi PJ and Jim, my mum, Alison Boyer... was Housewife of the Year in 1993. Now, that's not the year we're talking about here, but nonetheless, we've actually found somebody. Stephanie's mum, Alison, was Housewife of the Year. So PJ went on Tinternet.
I have a picture of her here with Gay Byrne on the panel. Alison nailing they have the name
maybe
as.
She was, well, maybe it was.
Maybe it's something.
Whatever, I don't know.
Who, none of our business.
Yeah.
But I have a picture of her here. It's brilliant, yeah. I have a picture
We've
of her.
We've actually found somebody who was a Calorgas Housewife of the Year.
And she's
winner.
Here, dressed in all white, and she's got the sash on with Calorgas National Winner or whatever it is written on it.
That's
a big
impressive.
Bunch of flowers, the whole lot. Unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable.
And look, there's another one. There's a lady from Fermoy, Mary O'Connor, who was Calorgas Housewife of the Year. Not sure what year it was, says Margaret. And somebody says, lads, back in the 80s, my mam won a Calorgas cooker on Housewife of the Year. It was only a viewers' competition, though. Still, worth a lot back then, says Ron.
Would have been. It would have been.
And just to give you, in case you're somebody who's not familiar with it, right, this was the kind of thing that kind of...
Well, what went on, basically.
Yeah, now this is not a clue specifically to this classic year, but this is the kind of thing you could have expected.
Next, we welcome from Ardvarnock, Convoy, County Donegal. Her husband is manager of FBD Insurances in the area and is a farmer, and she is the mother of four children. Would you say hello to Margaret Witherow? Does she or does she not look like a cook? Yes, she does look like a cook. And here is Thelma once again to tell us what she made for us yesterday in the Shelburne.
Lamb hungroys is Margaret's choice today. And as you can tell by the name, little touch of Hungary there with some paprika, which is rubbed into the lamb before it's cooked.
Wow. That's,
there you go,
tell
I tell
you
something.
There you go.
It's yeah. A different time. It's, I mean...
And that was only in the 90s. That's extraordinary.
It went deep into the 90s all the same. You know?
That's what's scary.
Yeah. I have great footage here of the one from 1984 now. I can't get away from it.
We've gone down a very strange
wormhole. Oh, I've gone down the rabbit hole here.
I tell you. Anyway, we'll get back to the Calorgas Housewife of the Year at some point in the future.
This is going to be my new box set now. I'll be watching all 25 years of the Calorgas Housewife of the Year for the next two couple of days.
But back in this classic
there's one of them
year.
Riding a horse out of the house. Riding a horse out of the house. A miniature pony out of the house. Unbelievable, sorry.
Right. So let's try and give you a clue to this actual year we're talking about. And the arrival, in fairness, of a bit of quality Irish comedy in this year.
Quality Irish comedy this year. Limerick duo, they were called the Dumbelievables, and they got going in this CSI year.
Why didn't that play there?
Because you filled it in with the Housewife of the Year, didn't you?
Probably filled it in with the Housewife of the Year. But
they're
anyway,
better anyway.
Hello, dear, and welcome to Crime Busters. And welcome to Crime Busters. What's first on the agenda there, PJ?
First on the agenda there, Tom, is a robbery. A robbery, Tom.
A robbery. Now, we had a robbery, lads, only last week down the village. It was last Friday night. They came in through a side window at the house, approximately 3 a.m. They proceeded to clean out the kitchen, the sitting room, and leave via the front door. Now, can you tell me what's wrong with that? You can't go to bed and leave a window open or door open. We're blue in the face and tell you this when you lock up before you go to bed.
That's right.
You're only wasting our time and your time. And you come down to us then crying.
Oh, spilt milk.
Oh, spilt milk then, yeah. Where is it? Where can I get my stuff back? Where have they gone? So how are we supposed to know?
There you go. Dumbelievables. Pat Short, who's brilliant. Been on the show many times, actually. Don't
what
think
a
we've
great
had John Kenny on the show, have we?
Well, no, not you and me. No, we haven't, no. No. So, but what a great bloke
that.
Pat Short is, yeah. Great stuff there.
And that was good. That was huge for a while. The live shows were, in particular, were
listen,
phenomenal.
Dumbelievables are brilliant. They're one of the greatest comedy acts that Ireland has ever seen. Pat Short is a genius. He's amazing. It just falls a little flat when you put it on after the Housewife of the Year.
Yeah, probably the highlight performance at the Forever Young Festival just a few weeks back. Jimmy Somerville, of course, there as part of the Communards and Don't Leave Me This Way, did a rendition of that. Absolutely brilliant. It was fantastic on the Saturday night.
Oh, you said he was definitely the highlight of the festival, yeah.
Without a shadow. Well, for me, certainly, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Every single tune was a belter. Absolute belter. Anyway, the Coming Arts, Don't Leave Me This Way, almost 21 minutes to 10 o'clock. Now, a little bit earlier on when we were doing CSI, we ended up going off on a weird sort of a tangent because PJ gave us a clue about the Calorgas Housewife of the Year.
Housewife of the Year competition, yeah. It was in our CSI year. It was the of 1991. Not sure why it was there because it went on for...
Yeah,
till 1993,
and whatever, yeah.
Was the 25th year anniversary of it.
Right.
But you're not going to believe what happened when
yeah,
we were doing this.
We were kind of curious about it because it did seem like a, you know, we were in the 90s, but it seemed like it was a throwback to way beyond it because it seemed like a sort of a weird version of a Father Ted Lovely Girl competition or something. So we were kind of curious and we put it out there to see if we could find anybody who knew anyone, maybe who'd ever been in it.
Yeah. Well... Ladies and gentlemen, please rise, because we have the current, reigning, and probably lifetime champion of the Irish Housewife of the Year competition, Philomena Delaney from Limerick on the phone.
Philomena, good morning.
Good morning, how are you? So, you now have the weird version of Paul the Ted Girl. That's me, in the flesh.
This still is brilliant. Raining,
still beautiful, still fabulous. It was the most amazing competition.
Wow, so you won it in what year, Philomena?
1995.
And that was the final year it was ever held, yeah?
Yeah, it worked out that way, yeah. Unfortunately.
So as a result then,
you're the champion for life.
I sure am. I still have the sash. I still have the crown. I have everything at home. Yes, yes.
Now listen.
I still thought to this competition. It was very good to me. It was brilliant. It was Caller Coals and Gas.
That's right. Caller Coals and Gas. Of course it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
And come here, listen, Philomena, you got to tell us, right? What did you have to do to be crowned Housewife of the Year?
Well, now, I hadn't an absolute clue. First of all, I was not a member of the ICA. I think traditionally you would have been from a guild, from an ICA.
I
would have been a city girl. So anyway, my friend, she was listening to the radio one day. She wanted a new gas cooker. And she said, we'll enter it for a laugh. She said, you can do the cooking. I'm excellent at cooking. So I said, okay.
Yeah.
And we're entering a competition to win a cooker for my friend. That was the thrust of it. Then it got very serious. First there was an interview, and then there was these regional finals, and then it got very serious. Gayburn was in Neptune Stadium, Cork, full stadium, six contestants. And I got through that stage, and I said, oh my God, I said, this is getting serious. So then it was up to Dublin. And now, I explained at the interview, I said, I am not running a B&B. I said, I do not have three children adopted from Romania. You know, all these different things. I said, I work part-time. I have two young children. And yes, I am an amazing housewife, domestic goddess, amazing cook, whatever.
Yeah.
But they were trying to kind of, I think, change it. I'm trying to up the game a bit.
Right, yeah.
So I looked the part, walked the part, spoke the part, and did everything they wanted me to do. I was involved in many societies and many guilds and different things. I had a lot to offer.
Right. Anyway, so that was the secret was to be involved in lots of things and stuff, was
it? Yeah, you had to be involved.
Right, to be really active in the community and all that.
Yeah, and I was all of that. I was in all those things. And yes, and I was very good at my hands, very good at craft, and I was a volunteer and stuff like that. Anyway, none of it mattered. It was all, I think, at the end of the day, down to personality, being able to deliver, being able to demonstrate around the country. Once you won this competition, you have to take off around Ireland, hither and yonder. I went from Ennis to Banagher, Cork to Limerick, Dunmanway. You could be anywhere.
Wow. Now, come here, listen. What was it like coming face to face with Gable on the stage?
It was fantastic. Well, it was fantastic altogether in Cork because there wasn't half the pomp and ceremony and walk here and look there. There was none of that. You just went out onto the stage and we had a great laugh.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't see the person who went ahead of you. You were, you know, you were all in some kind of a bathroom. But when we were having the dinner the day before, you were interviewed to within an inch of your life. We had dinners with all the judges at each stage.
But
anyway, one of the times when one of them was finished, one of the other contestants was saying to me, she was saying about, she had this lovely B&B in Kerry, and she said, I have 350 panes of glass, and I clean them every day and whatever, and the carpet, I push it in this direction.
Yeah.
I was like, don't say that, because you sounded OCD, because that was a new word at the time. I said, don't say that. So she went, I didn't know what she said on the stage, but then when I went on the stage ages later, he said to me, do you wash your windows? I had completely forgotten that.
One of your questions? Do you wash your windows?
He said to me, do I wash my... And I said, my window... I said, I wash windows. And he said, in your house. And I said, no, I have nets. And the whole audience... He said, nets. What are nets? And I said, net curtains. He went. Anyway, I went into the loo then afterwards, and there was two ladies in the loo, and one said, what about your one washing the windows? She said, by the handbag, I'd get sick into it. I said, oh, God. Oh, stop. I couldn't leave the loo then until they were gone. But anyway,
wow.
He had a great laugh. He was very nice. He was really, you know, Gayburn was fine. Now, it was a bit more formal up in Dublin and stuff.
And what did you win, Philomena? What did you win?
I wasn't half as smart. I think I won whatever he said. You had to get, you won money for your charity.
Did you get a heating system? Did you get a heating system?
Yeah. But
you did?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Oh,
we did,
wow.
We actually did.
And 1,500 quid. Was it still 1,500 quid?
I think so. I think the charity got more than the prize person.
Oh,
actually.
That's
your
typical.
Your chosen charity.
Typical.
No, seriously.
I know. I agree with you, yeah.
Anything about, it really wasn't for money. It was hugely prestigious because you had this people going around.
Are you known, Philomena, throughout the area of Limerick? Are you known as the woman who won the Clonagas Housewife of the Year, no?
Not really. Well, kind of it, but not really.
You you're not a local celebrity or anything?
Not at all.
Well, you should be. Oh, you went undercover.
Unbelievable.
No, but I was.
Stick the sash on today, Philomena. Go out loud and proud.
Yeah. I'm going straight out now. No, it was brilliant. And I just took off around Ireland. I loved every minute. Every demonstration got better and better. It was like a gig.
Yeah. Oh, so you did the tour, like the sort of Rosa Tralee thing. You went around different places, kind of, promoting Clonagas and Housewife of the Year.
And just me and the man with the who brought the prop, which was the mirror and the cooker and the thing. And then I could bring someone if I wanted to. But it was just up to me to do it.
There you go,
and
PJ.
I mean, we had, one gig was massive in Cork. We had 600 people in Blarney, and it was for the Irish Kidney Foundation. You could make a fortune of money at these demos. It was kind of these bake-offs and cookery demos.
Yeah, exactly. And you were the start of it all.
They were advertising bottled gas, but then when town gas came, it kind of stole their thunder a small bit.
Yeah.
Do you know something? I'm starting to realise, Philomena, how you managed to win it all right, eh? You wouldn't. I tell you, buckets of personality. There's no two ways about it.
I loved it. No,
we're going to have to let you go, right? But thank you so much for ringing in. But I can't believe we've actually spoken to a champion.
Thanks so much, Philomena. It's an absolute joy talking to you this morning.
Okay.
And you'll forever be our champion.
Okay, thank you.
Take care of yourself.
I love you. Bye.
Cheers.
Bye. Yeah, we love you too. The last ever, the current champion and champion for life, Philomena Delaney in Limerick. Who could have had it better than that?
I'll tell you something. She talks a good game, doesn't she, Philomena?
Tell you. Too right she does. I'd vote for her.
There you go.
I'm telling you.
Mr. Vocation. Future of politics.